Once you understand that, you don't have to pay as big a price to get it. That's truth number one. The mental. The mental symbolizes if there's any spiritual shortcut, right? In a sense, there's none because you have to pay the price too. He said it's a hard thing. Say, what price? You have to pay the price for what Gilgal represents. Gilgal represents rolling away, dealing with your flesh life. And then you have to pay the price of battle. Battle represents house of God, fellowship with God. And you have got to go to Jericho. Jericho represented taking authority over demonic powers. You have to take authority over demonic powers in your life. Then you cross the Jordan. You know, Jordan symbolized the entering from the flesh realm into the spirit realm. Complete dying to all of self. And then you reach that certain level. And even after that, still got price. If you see me, then it's yours. If you don't see me, it's not yours. Still got price to pay. So we realize there is still a price for Elisha to pay. Besides that, Elisha was serving Elijah for 10 years. However, Elijah paid a heavier price than Elisha. Because Elijah was the first one to tap into that miracle kind of power in the Old Testament. So powerful that there was none like him. And he could be transferred. There's still a price. We won't deny it. But if there is, quote unquote, any, quote unquote, shortcut, or faster road, or higher speed lane on the highway, it's the mental. The mental. Is it? If some of you are called to be evangelists, and you're going to start from scratch, all by yourself, and build it up, it may take a long time. But it becomes faster when you associate with another evangelist who is already having a ministry, and successful. And you look at all those things the person has developed to achieve the office. And then you could improve on that, innovate on that. And you launch out from there, it'll be far much faster. If somebody takes 20 years to get a truth and revelation, and then the other guy that takes 20 years to get it because the other guy didn't contact this guy, and then both guys die, we don't know them. And we have to start all over again at square one and take another 20 years to get the same thing. If we keep on going at this rate, the church will never be perfected. Because God wants to accelerate things. He uses the mental method. The first tool of Elisha. Now the mental is important because when you receive a mental, notice a few things here. Number one, feelings may not be there. Under mental, feelings may not be there. Elisha, when he received that mental, in verse 14, he took the mental of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he struck the water and he asked a question. He says, where is the God of Elijah? Apparently, when he took that mantle upon him and he rolled it into a roll, he didn't feel anything. That's the most important point when you talk about association. When you begin to associate, you don't feel that impartation sometimes. I'm not talking about special anointings and all that. Those I'll talk about that afterwards. But under what I call transference through mental, this is what happens. That through being with a person and all that and getting this mental down that you could see physically, this mental, yet that sense of fire, that anointing is not so much there over the regular period of time. What do we mean? I call it the parable of the bathtub. What kind of parable is that? Parable of the bathtub. When you fill a bathtub with hot water, and you are stepping into the bathtub, the first time you step into it, you feel the difference between the room temperature and the bathtub temperature. And it feels very hot. But after you're in the bathtub, the water doesn't feel cold anymore. In fact, when you step out, it feels cold. But room temperature can be slightly higher because of the bathtub and the differential, but you still feel cold. And you don't feel hot anymore in the bathtub. In fact, it feels a bit cold, so you turn on the tap, hot water a bit more. Why is it so? Your body has got adjusted to the temperature. And so you don't feel the differentials as much. See, like, for example, let's say some of the singers here or some of those things, where week by week you come to the meeting, you worship, and week by week you come and you minister together or with any other ministry. Supposing you work for Reinhard Bonnke or, you know, or somebody else who moves in an evangelistic anointing, and at first you move into it, the first time you hear the person speak and minister, the first time you enter into that kind of atmosphere, all your goosebumps come up. Oh, what a differential, right? You just entered the bathtub. And one of my former associates, who is now pastoring his own church somewhere in Malaysia, in the early days of ministry, he says, when he first met me, every time he hear me speak, you know, he always feel wave upon wave coming on him. And like his goosebumps go up and down. So I said, that's interesting. And the only thing I didn't notice was how he was turning into a goose, right? And then he said, he told me this, he's a pastor now, and he says he felt that for quite some time. You know, always this goosebump coming up and down, hair going up and down. You know? And through the meeting, then he says, when he has been with me for some time, he stayed with me, he don't feel that anymore. He feel quite normal. Quite normal. And, you know, just like, you know, praise God, here's another good meeting, here's another meeting. And it becomes like normal. But when he comes to the level of what he calls normal, another guy comes in, may still feel the differential. And the moment they step into the meeting, the goosebumps all go out. Here's another goose coming. But in that same meeting, that old guy doesn't feel it anymore. What has happened? The parable of the bathtub has taken place. But what the person doesn't know is that he did not have less anointing. He has equal anointing. In other words, the anointing that the person already operates on, he's used to it now. So some of you are experiencing that. But once in a while, there's a stronger anointing than that comes, then you begin to feel the differential. Which is why you begin to feel the anointing. See, we have, when we move in the Spirit, even in my church, I have to sometimes choose to teach than to move in the Spirit. Because if I do both, we never get out under at night. So we also have to make that choice. And but we need a balance of both. People need the reality of the Holy Spirit also. And we need to balance between both. And so there are times when we move in the Spirit and it's a real heavy anointing. And I remember one dear sister, you know, she comes into the meeting. And the moment I say a word, she falls down. And no, when I turn and look at her, she falls up. Boom, you know. So after a few weeks of falling down, and she never heard any message. Imagine, every Sunday she comes, sit on her seat, fall down. Right? Every Sunday. So she got quite concerned and she came and see me and says, what's wrong? Is there anything wrong? No, why do I? You just suddenly fall, suddenly fall, suddenly fall all the time. No chance to turn to the Bible also. What's happening to me? And being aware of the things of the Spirit, I told her this. I said, don't worry. After a period of several months, you get used to it. At first she panicked, what, get used to it? You mean the rest of my life, as long as I attend these churches, I cannot hear the message. See,
Not that kind of get used. Get used means after some time you may not fall as easily. You may not fall as easily because you become used to that level. And true enough, she got away instead of months, it took her about a year. She gradually, you know, got used to it. And but once in a while, when it's a heavy anointing, she still drops. But she has got used to that. It does not mean, listen carefully, it does not mean the anointing has reduced. It's just that you got used to it. And that's where we need to also be careful, because we take it lightly. Just like any person who comes and minister, or any pastor who minister in their church, after some time, you could become a professional rather than take it very deeply, where you really knelt and you pray and sought God. Instead, some of them begin to take it lightly, and to them, just, you know, it's just a job to be done and just get away. Then they are taking the things of God lightly. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, after some time, they began to take the miracles for granted. The first time when they went out and saw the miracle, the manna, they pick it up and say, "Wow, what is this? Special. Manna." It was strange. And when they ate it, I mean, it was the best food in town. And they ate and they ate. Second day, exciting. Third day, fourth day, after 1 year. You know? And they say, "Why is this? Why manna, 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 manna every day? Give us meat, meat, meat." And they started complaining. And even though they have angels' food, manna, some tell us it's angels' food, they said, "Oh, the garlic in Egypt. Oh, the curry there." You know? All these things, they start, the leeks, the garlic and everything, they start talking about Egyptian food. They were separated from Egypt, but they still had Egyptian taste buds. So we see here the mental and association. We need to take heart to that. And it can increase and it can continue to flow in our lives. Now that also speaks much about each minister. Some ministers, if you heard them once or twice or five times, then the next year round you come and hear them, it's the same message. The next year round you come and hear them, same message. After some time, you wonder, "Hey, this is the 1960s revelation." And you also begin to wonder, "Hey, you know, what's happening? Are we going further? Are we progressing?" And of course, some people will say, "Don't run after revelation," all that. Yes, but knowledge must increase. We don't have to use the word revelation also if it's offensive. Just like if people don't believe in the baptism in the Spirit, say, "Never mind, use feeling of the Spirit." Right? It's just a matter of synonyms that people get hung up with. But basically, we must increase. I will guarantee you, as I keep walking with God, once we finish this whole set of teaching and finish revelations and I go off, you know, once in a while I may come by, every time you hear me, it will be a different message. We don't intend to remain the same. And that's a way where if I have to continue growing myself, that's important. A minister and a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, an apostle, a prophet must continue to grow themselves. And sometimes if they don't grow, and you hear them after 2 years, it's still the same message. That's not good. That's where the person did not develop the mental further. They're just satisfied with holding on to their old mental. But we need to understand the keys of the moving the Spirit. The first is the mental. The second, as Elisha performs his miracle in verse 19 and 20, 2 Kings chapter 2. The men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice, the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So he asked for salt. Now that second instrument that he used, salt, represents a covenant relationship with God. Turn over to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus. And we will consider Leviticus chapter 2. verse 13. See, the Holy Spirit is trying to bring across to us